Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. And today's episode is all about spore-based probiotics, the company Megaspore, and all of the amazing things that they have to help to heal up leaky guts. Now, full disclosure, I'm not getting paid a dime from the company to talk about their products, nor to interview Kieran Kirshnan, my co-host today. He is the chief research officer at Megaspore, and they go by microbiomelabs.com on the web. Megaspore is their product. It's a spore-based probiotic. That's how I found out all about these guys. But he is their dude to go to when you want to geek out on the products and the background on the spore-based probiotics. So without any further ado, I'm going to jump into our interview so you can learn all about spore-based probiotics, why you want to pay attention to them, and how they might help you. Alrighty, enjoy the podcast. You are the head researcher, is this correct?
Yeah. The title I work with is chief science officer at Microbiome Labs. So I head up all of the scientific affairs and the studies and all of that stuff, everything associated with science.
Excellent. So I, of course, want to share this with all of my guests in terms of why would someone choose a spore-based probiotic compared to another type of probiotic? Because we have so many out there on the market. I feel like even as a doctor, I find myself saying, well, I see this probiotic for this type of gut and this one for this type of gut, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I'd love to hear someone else spit out their opinion other than me.
Yeah, sure. You know, so one of the biggest problems we have with the microbiome space is we don't really know what a normal, healthy gut looks like, right? There are a couple of features of what a normal, healthy gut should have, but one of the things that we know for certain is that everybody has a different microbiome. Even identical twins who are born of the same mother who share 100% the same genetics can have up to 30, 40% differences in their microbiome. So it's very hard to look at an individual and go, okay, this set of lactobacillus strains and bifidobacteria strains are right for you, whereas this other person, this set is the right, or this dose is correct for you. You know, you need 100 billion of these 17 strains. You need 10 billion of these 10 strains. So all of the products that are on the market today are designed with the idea of trying to recolonize the gut with what should be commensal organisms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we call it the reseeding principle, right? So we're trying to reseed the gut with good bacteria. The problem is we don't know what kind of good bacteria people need.
Right.
You know, we don't know if you're really low on Reuteri or even Reuteri should even be in your gut. We don't know if Acidophilus should be, you know, less than 0.01% in your GI tract, or should it be more? Those things we just haven't figured out yet. And so what we were looking at is what are some universal colonizers and what are some of the keystone strains? So there's this thing called keystone strains within the microbiome. These are really, really effective controlling strains that basically are universal colonizers, which means that we all have them at relatively the same amount, and they play a regulatory role in the rest of the microbiome. And so these strains tend to be called universal colonizers or keystone strains because they play this really important role that is universal to all of us. And we know that the uniqueness in the microbiome comes from the fact that you got the vast majority of the microbes in your gut you got from your mom, right? So yes. Passing through the birth canal, you get a huge inoculum. Breast milk contains 600 to 800 different species of bacteria. close interaction with mom and dad in the first couple of years of life expose you to certain types of bacteria. And then those bacteria that you're exposed to early on come into the system. They have this crosstalk with your immune system, which we don't quite understand yet how all of that happens. And then between the bacteria you're exposed to and then your immune system early on in life, there is a fingerprint of a microbiome that's developed that becomes your unique microbiome. That's where most of these lactobacillus bifidobacteria species fall into. They are unique commensal bacteria that are transferred from mother to child, and each person has a unique subset of these bacteria. So we said, okay, we can't redo that type of natural inoculation in the gut. And so what are some of the other bacterial exposures that people encounter throughout their life? And after you're born, the rest of your life, you're exposed to bacteria in the environment. And so the idea is that, okay, are there environmental bacteria that act as commensal bacteria who can survive the natural process or the process of going through the gastric system and then actually have a regulatory or functional role in the gut? Because we've all been exposed to those bacteria almost equivalently. You know, it's not a unique set of bacteria that I got from my mom that's different from the bacteria you got from your mom. We are both in the environment, so we both get similar exposure to them. So that's the idea, right? So these are universal colonizers that play a significant role in regulating the rest of the microbiome. And that's where the spores come in. What's so interesting about them, as we do more research on the spores, is that they have been given this particular capability by nature to naturally survive the harsh gastric process, which is something that kills off the vast majority of bacteria that we encounter, including most of the probiotic bacteria. So, you know, we've tested not too long ago the top 40 probiotics on the market, and they all die going through the gastric system, you know, and they're all just obliterated by stomach acid, you know, and if for some reason they survive to some degree past stomach acid, then the bile salts will get them in the upper part of the GI, or the pancreatic enzymes. These are all strong antimicrobials. And so to have a bacteria that's sitting around in the dirt that has developed this natural capability to survive through this harsh gastric environment already lends itself to the idea that, okay, there's maybe some functionality of this bacteria in the gut. So then once we start digging deeper, we find out that these spores play a huge role in regulating the rest of the microbiome. You know, so they find the bad guys, they eliminate the bad guys, they support the growth of the good guys. One of the studies we're publishing this year shows that you can almost double the diversity of your microbiome by adding in three to five strains of the spores. Which is amazing. You know, imagine you could take your microbiome from, you know, 800 species to 1,200 species just by adding in other regulating bacteria without having to add in those extra 400.
That's fascinating.
It's amazing to think about it. Yeah, they are the gut police. They get in there, and we've basically outsourced this function to them because we naturally don't have the same capability within our own bodies to regulate our microbiome that effectively. So that's a big difference between the spores and then the conventional look at probiotics, where companies are basically saying, hey, lactobacillus and bifidobacteria are commensal species, so we're going to grow them up in factories, we're going to take as large of a dose as we can fit in a capsule and hope that they get in and grow and rebalance, you know, the microbiota. But as it turns out, none of them are surviving through. Even if they do somehow survive, they can't colonize. So you're basically just pooping them out 12 hours later. And in fact, our ancestors never got this kind of exposure to lacto and bifido strains, you know, after they were born. It's all environmental bacteria after that.
Absolutely. And so that is so important that you mention that, because I think a lot of people don't think about, let me back up for a second. I do a ton of tests to see what kind of bacteria people do have in their gut, just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. but also out of like, why do they have X, Y, or Z condition happening? And so
oftentimes when someone's got an issue going on, lactobacillus is super wiped out, even though they've been taking some of the top probiotics loaded full of lactobacillus, which is frustrating as heck for me because I go, okay, right. obviously it's not setting in. And I knew back, Dr. Judy Fulop was one of my supervisors way back in the day, at Bastyr. And, you know, we had talked about this as she first started rolling out, you know, talking about the spores. And I think, you know, it's something that makes sense, especially with soil-based component, because yeah, we're not gonna, you know, back when we were cavemen, we weren't, you know, looking for factories. There were none, you know, and right. Getting your bacteria in naturally is huge, especially in the form of, you know, something that's soil-based. And policing. Now, see, I didn't know this policing component. That bifido, is it specifically the bifidobacterium, the spores are like police, or explain a little bit more so that my folks can understand how these guys police.
Yeah, so that's a really important function of the bacteria. In fact, when the spores were initially, when they initially were launched into the marketplace, they were launched back in 1952 in Germany and in France as a prescription treatment for dysentery. Mm-hmm. And the reason they were able to do that is because these spores are so good at getting into the gut. When they get into the microbiome, the microbiota, they do something called quorum sensing. And quorum sensing is the ability of a microbe to read another microbe's signal, basically. This crosstalk and communication between bacteria. So these bacteria have a way of identifying signatures or virulence factors from unfavorable organisms. They'll actually sit next to them in the microbiota and produce up to 25 different antibiotics in that little microenvironment to kill off those bacteria. Wow. You know, that's why there was such an effective tool against dysentery and then later on against E. coli infections and coliform infections and so on, that they were used since 1952. And those drugs are still on the market today in Europe and Latin America and parts of Russia as well. They still use them to treat gut infections because they're so good at getting there, finding the unfavorable organisms and killing them off. Now, as it turns out, and this is something that we suspected but hadn't been proven yet, not only do they get rid of the bad bacteria, but as it turns out, they tremendously enhance the growth of good bacteria as well. You know, and that's what we're submitting for publication this year, because nobody's shown a trial where five strains of bacteria can go into your gut and then increase the growth of your microbiota by 300, 400, 500 other species, and also regrow these really important keystone species like Acromantia mucinophilia and Fecalum bacteria prausnitzii and Bifidobacteria longum, all of these kind of really important controlling microbes that hold up the rest of the microbiota, and where those in the Western world tend to be really low because of our excessive use of antibiotics and the crazy exposure to things like glyphosate and so on, we inevitably have this really strong antimicrobial effect in our environment, and they undo that.
Wow, that is impressive. Now, of course, my next step is going to be thinking about yeast. What is your interaction with yeast?
So it's interesting. We have a lot of success in using the spores to deal with candida. So they are competitively excluding candida. We know that. We've seen it in patients clinically. But we also know that they work really well and synergistically with Saccharomyces. Mm. So we have a product called Restore Flora, which we actually developed specifically for nursing homes because they were, you know, they experienced really high prevalence rates of antibiotic-associated diarrhea in nursing homes because the diets are terrible. They're on antibiotics all the time. And so we created this product called Restore Flora, which is a combination of a couple of our spores with Saccharomyces boulardii, and the combination is really powerful because if you think about it from an evolutionary biology perspective, our ancestors walked around and they foraged for food and they ate dirt and they dug for stuff they pick stuff off trees and bushes. And Saccharomyces is a yeast that's naturally found on fruits and things that our ancestors would have picked and eaten. And then, of course, the spores are found naturally on roots and tubers and all the seeds and things that they would have dug up and consumed. So these two microbes have worked together for a very long period of time in the human digestive tract. So it's no surprise that they have great synergistic effect.
Oh, that is good to hear, because I definitely use the Saccharomyces, but I haven't paired it with the Megaspore. So I guess at this point, I just need to get the Restore Flora products for my folks. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people get, you know, end up with chronic diarrhea after a round of antibiotics that they just can't seem to shake.
And yeah, absolutely. So studies indicate, I mean, there was a study published, I think, in 2014 that showed that 7 days of clindamycin can take your gut up to 2 years to recover from. You know, so these, yeah, the damage is significant to the microbiota. And so it takes a lot of active work to make sure that the microbiota that is coming back after the antibiotic course is a healthy one. And it's one that's diverse and not one that now has an imbalance of Clostridia or E. coli or some other, you know, problematic bacteria. So we use it quite a bit in people who have had a course of antibiotics or who are undergoing course of antibiotics right now, because of course, the good thing is both the spores and Saccharomyces work well in the presence of antibiotics. So you can take it at the same time.
Hmm. Yeah, that's incredible. That's a good thing to have on board. Just to hand out samples. We know we have to give them antibiotics for one thing or the other.
There, absolutely.
Now, this leads me into another kind of thought process that I always have about probiotics, sporebiotics, whatever the keyword might be. In this case, I will often think of prebiotics, and Dr. Gundry, of course, is very popular for his prebiotics and how they save the world right now. Now, about spores. I know you guys have a prebiotic product, and I've been playing with it. The mango flavor is delicious. It's kind of addicting.
Yeah, it is.
two questions. One, can you have too many prebiotics if you really like the drink? And two, what's the best way that you've researched to combine the prebiotic and the spores, and give my folks a little bit more of an explanation as to why we need prebiotics?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I'm a bit of a closeted evolutionary biologist as well. Everything I think about as being beneficial to our body today, I always look for evidence of it through our course of evolution, right? Because if we weren't designed to function in a certain way through the course of evolution, it's probably not a good thing for us. And so when you consider prebiotics and probiotics, our ancestors who ate a lot of roots and tubers and seeds and certain types of fruits, they got huge amounts of prebiotics in their diet. And of course, everything that they ate, because they didn't sterilize their food, had probiotics that came along with it. Now, one of the things I always explain to people is a prebiotic is only beneficial if you have the right types of bacteria in your system to convert them into the therapeutic compounds. And the main ones are short-chain fatty acids, right? Because if you don't have the right types of bacteria, and these are called sacrolytic bacteria, if you don't have enough sacrolytic bacteria in your gut, you will not convert prebiotics to short-chain fatty acids, thereby not really getting any benefit from the prebiotic. In fact, in some cases, it can make things worse because the other type of bacteria in the gut are called proteolytic bacteria. Those bacteria will convert prebiotics into gas. Mm-hmm. So it'll convert it into ammonia gas, it'll convert it into hydrogen gas, methane, and so on. And that'll cause a lot of bloat, inflammation, and other discomfort. Of course, it'll stress the liver because the liver is trying to get rid of the ammonia and other types of gases that are found. So so a prebiotic kind of goes along with a probiotic. And the unfortunate thing is it's counterintuitive because the word pre is in the word prebiotic, which makes you think it should come before a probiotic, right? But in reality, in the modern world that we live in today, we found two issues with prebiotics. One, that most prebiotics are just kind of general fermentable fibers. right? And the problem with that is if you already have a dysbiotic flora and you throw the fermentable fibers in there, it's going to feed bad bacteria just as well as it feeds good bacteria. So you could be making the problem worse, right? And that's no different than like if you had a garden that's overrun with weeds and then you throw a bunch of plant food in there, you're probably going to feed the weeds better than the regular healthy plants. And so you're going to continue to create that dysbiosis. Now, we selected something called precision prebiotics, and these are specific oligosaccharides that have very long degrees of polymerization, and that's a fancy word for saying they have very complex carbohydrate structures that only certain types of bacteria produce enzymes to break them down. So and that's what's really unique about these. So these oligosaccharides will go into the system and specifically feed certain groups of good bacteria, in particular Acromantia, Fecalum bacteria, Bifidobacteria. These are the ones that we selected so that even if you have a dysbiotic microbiota, you are selectively feeding the good bacteria instead of just feeding all bacteria, which includes your bad ones too. Now, how you use the prebiotic and probiotic, we actually call it layering therapy because what we're doing with the probiotic is we are reconditioning the gut environment. We are changing what the environment of the gut looks like so that it favors the growth of beneficial bacteria and is unfavorable to the growth of a non-beneficial or potentially pathogenic bacteria. So that reconditioning does a couple of things. Number one, it increases the diversity of organisms within the gut, but then it also regrows some of those keystone strains that we talked about. So then what we do is after about 3 or 4 weeks of using the spores to go in there and recondition the gut, then what we do is we reinforce those changes with the prebiotic by sending them in because those prebiotics will only specifically feed those good bacteria that the spores are regrowing. You know, and so it's layering therapy. We call it total gut reconditioning because what we're doing is we're reconditioning the environment of the gut because all of this dysbiotic issues and all of the chronic illnesses that arise from it are due to an ecological problem in the gut. And if we can fix that ecology, we can really fix a lot of issues and make significant changes in people's health outcomes. So that reconditioning fixes that that ecological issue, and then here comes the prebiotics after that to reinforce those positive changes. The last part of our total gut restoration system is actually something we call rebuilding. And this, I might as well explain this now. And that's a product that's coming out in a week or two, and that's a product that's designed to rebuild the mucus layer of on top of your intestinal lining. And the mucus layer plays such an important role. For one, the top part of the mucus layer is really where most of the bacteria in your gut exists. That's the kind of, lower viscosity swimming pool-like structure. The bottom part of the mucus layer, as you get closer to the intestinal cells, is made up of something called mucin 2. And that type of mucus is a thick, jello-like structure, and it's supposed to act as a physical barrier against things migrating from the lumen, which is a hole in the intestines, all the way down to the intestinal lining. And this includes food particles or bacterial toxins or viral toxins or bacterial or viral components, you know, parasites, all kinds of things. Actually acts as a physical barrier from those things moving too close to the intestinal lining. Because as it gets close to the intestinal lining, then it has a chance of actually entering our circulatory system. So it's really important to regenerate that mucus layer. And that's what that last product is. It's called Rebuild, because the last step in fixing the microbiome, then reinforcing the changes, is to rebuild a mucus layer that acts as that wall, that protective barrier against it. So that's how we view prebiotics and probiotics. Even though pre has the word pre in it, it should come after a probiotic, especially a probiotic that has been shown to be able to actually fix the bacterial population. Because if not, you could very well be feeding bad bacteria as much as you feed good bacteria. And then having this precision prebiotic helps even further on top of that.
I love it. Cause yeah, I get a lot of, you know, maybe people kick back at me a lot here in the office when I'm like, no, you can't have the prebiotic. Let's start your probiotic first, get things then build on it. And I think that's genius to wait for that month. Now, and then working on the building, because the rebuild aspect is huge. I've used a multiple step approach with L-glutamine and licorice root and marshmallow root, but right. I'm very curious to see your product, because I think that's going to be like the completion to my fixing up some seriously damaged guts around here in this office. And I'm always the N of one. So I always try everything out before my patients do.
Yeah.
So I can't wait next week, huh?
Yeah, I think, I think it's coming out on the 19th. So in about 2 weeks. And the way we approach that product is, you know, we took a deep look at, okay, what are the building blocks of the mucosal structure? Mm-hmm. You know, and as it turns out, there are four key amino acids that are the building blocks of the mucosal structure. And studies have been done where they take an animal model and then they specifically damage the mucosal structure, and then when they add in these four amino acids with the right microbiome, it rebuilds the structure by over 98% more effective than not adding these particular four amino acids. And so, because you know the mucosal structure is made up of glycoproteins, so even if you take in the tools like what some of these herbs provide you, if you don't have the building blocks, it's very hard for your body to actually reproduce and rebuild that mucosal lining. Also, because the mucosal lining is basically regenerating itself every 6-7 days, we need an ongoing supply of these key amino acids. And so what we did is we added those four amino acids at the clinically relevant doses, and then we also added a component to reduce the inflammatory response in the mucosa, because one of the things that prevents the mucosal structure from being rebuilt is continuous inflammatory response in the mucosa. So we work with a high concentration IgG product, which has been shown in real severe cases of enteropathy, like in HIV patients. One of the things that most people don't realize is that HIV patients die primarily of leaky gut, you know, and the NIH published a study on this back in 2014, almost like a challenge to the research environment, saying, hey, we've basically figured out from a culmination of a whole bunch of studies that the thing that's really killing HIV patients is leaky gut, severe enteropathy. And so they put out a challenge to the HIV research community to come up with solutions for fixing that enteropathy, that damage to the mucosa, that leakiness in the gut. And one of the companies, one of the types of products that actually did a few studies on that to show huge benefits was this IgG product. So we said, okay, we've got to include that because that has a huge, you know, influence on the rebuilding of the mucosa. And then the other part that we're digging into is what is the role of polyphenols in the mucosa? You know, and polyphenols play a significant role in the health of the microbiome, in the health of the mucosa, in the ability of the mucosa to regenerate itself, and the ability of the intestinal cell lines to regenerate themselves as well. And we found this amazing polyphenol blend they call a flavobiotic out of France that has some great studies on it that shows its ability to seal up the gut, improve the diversity of the microbiome, reduce that inflammatory response in the mucosa, and so on. So that's those are the components of the product, and it's going to be a very, very powerful product in fixing that damage.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, you were talking about the IgG product, and I did get that for some patients with some severe leaky gut and pain and, you know, brain fog and some serious, debilitating clostridia is really what it came up with when we did the organic acids testing. Would you mind talking a little bit with my audience as to, so the product's the IgG 2000, everybody. And I'd love to talk about how we use it with the probiotic, how we use it with prebiotic, how we use it with even your new product that you have for restoring the lining. How does it work? Yep. You put it together.
Yeah, so to clarify, we have it in two things. So we have it at a dose of 1 gram mm-hmm. per day in the mucosal rebuilding product. Mm-hmm. And then what you have is also the standalone version, which is 2 grams per day. Mm-hmm. And the reason we have it separate is because about 1 gram per day with the other ingredients that are in the mucosal product is good for rebuilding the mucosa. But in many cases, you need a higher dose to deal with other things, like the things you're talking about, like C. diff infection, for example, or people with severe dysbiosis or people with severe mycotoxin exposure severe overgrowth of candida. The reason why it works so well is because it contains this immunoglobulin G, which is the long-term adaptive immune antibody against viruses, bacteria, toxins, and all of that. And it contains a very high amount of this per serving. And these immunoglobulins, when you take them in orally, they will actually go into your gut and they will bind up all of the toxins, both environmental toxins and microbial toxins. They will also bind pathogens, viruses, fungus, amoebas, all kinds of stuff that they tend to neutralize in the gut and basically neutralize them and take them out through defecation. Wow. And so it basically is like a cleanup for the environment in the gut. And as it turns out, when you have this IgG in your mucosa, it dramatically reduces the inflammation that's going on in the mucosa, which then allows the mucosa to rebuild itself. Because if there's continuous inflammation in the mucosa, it never can regenerate effectively. You know, so it works really well for people with any sort of chronic infections, especially C. diff. There's some good data on that, on leaky gut, because it does neutralize bacterial and viral toxins. Any sort of chronic infections, viral or bacterial, certainly with fungus as well, because it has this capability to basically bind and neutralize microbes, their toxins, environmental toxins, and so on.
And that is so fascinating how that works, because I've used it on a couple of my folks with rashes. So mm-hmm. they have trash guts, they have leaky guts, they have a plethora of different bacteria and fungus growing in their guts, and they cycle between really horrible rashes all over the body and intense itching. And I found right. that IgG does tend to take that down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving their body an opportunity to regenerate the positive stuff within the immune system, whether it's on your skin or in your gut or in your other organ systems, because that continuous inflammation from the triggers, whether it's mycotoxins or it's chronic infectious viruses or bacteria, that chronic negative inflammatory response prevents the healing. You know, and I always explain to people it's no different than having a cut on your skin. And you're trying to get it to heal, but every day you kind of recut it a little bit more, you know, and that's basically what this chronic inflammation is doing. It's damaging, wounds in the body, which can be rashes. It can be, damage to your liver and your pancreas or your brain, many different areas. And so it becomes really important to neutralize the negative stimuli, which is the toxins and the microbes.
Awesome. Now, is there, in terms of protocols that you guys use, because I kind of wing it a little bit and kind of use it with folks until symptoms are gone and then have them keep it on hand in case we get a re-flare, because I do see that once in a while, or if they travel, or if they are going to Mexico, or they're going to India. India, I feel like everybody should have this in an IV form.
Right.
But in terms of protocols that you recommend, how long should someone be on the IgG?
I think on the high dose IgG, the standalone product, typically with most of the studies that they've done, they've done it at about 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
So you stay on the high dose for 8 to 12 weeks, and then you try to cycle off of it. And then you might need a maintenance kind of dose depending on what's going on in your life. If you, like you said, if you're traveling, then you want to up the dose and have that protective benefit there. Or if you are, having seasonal issues, it's allergy season or cold and flu season, you want to bump up the dose a little bit. But in that initial therapeutic phase, 8 to 12 weeks seems to be the right amount for it, the right amount of time for it.
Perfect. That leads me into my next question that I always get from a lot of patients and from folks who listen to my podcast. How long should someone be on a product like Megaspore? What should be this amount of time?
Yeah. So, you know, we've really looked at that in as much detail as we possibly can. The way we rationalize it, and then again, I always go back to evolutionary biology, and the way our ancestors came in contact with these types of microbes is, you know, they had continuous daily exposure to these microbes because they basically ate dirt all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And so they got a really strong measurable amount of these microbes into their system on a regular basis. Now, these microbes have also developed a semi-transient type of characteristic, meaning that when they come in, they don't stay forever. They stay on average for about 20, 21 days, and then they leave again. So they re-sporulate, and then they leave the system after 20 or 21 days. So the way we explain it is we put patients on it continuously. We work them up to that 2-cap-a-day dose because we tend to titrate everybody up from a 1 or half a cap every other day titration protocol all the way to 2-cap-a-day, which is where the effective dose is. And then once their symptoms or the issues that they're trying to fix are under control at that level, then we start to back them down and take them to a maintenance level. Mm-hmm. So we have people that are on it just on the weekends. They basically take it twice a week. We have people that have to take it 4 or 5 times a week. And then we have people that can go on as little as, you know, once or twice every 10 days. And it really kind of depends on lifestyle, how clean their lifestyle is, you know, how stress-free they are, where they live, how much glyphosate are they consuming on a daily basis. At the end of the day, the idea is this, is that these are protective microbes that that go in and fix all of the damage that we are continuously doing to our system just by living in the Western world, right? Because we now know, for example, glyphosate, we can't get away from it. It's in the water, it's in the soil, it's in organic food as well as non-organic food. You know, there's preservatives, there's antimicrobials everywhere. We live in a toxic world that's continuously damaging our microbiota, continuously shifting the balance towards pathogenic and problematic strains. We need to take something on a semi-regular basis at least to keep fixing that rebalance. So that's how we view it. Me, myself, for example, I take it every day because I travel a lot. I, you know, fly 200,000 to 300,000 miles a year. I'm, you know, all over the world in different time zones. In a matter of weeks, in a matter of 1 or 2 weeks, I could have gone to 15 different countries. And so that's a lot of stress on my body. I'm eating out a lot. You know, I've got weird sleep patterns because I'm in different time zones. And so I need it. You know, if I don't take it for 5-6 days, I start to feel a little bit run down. I start to feel unfavorable changes in my gut. And so I need it for regular maintenance. But if you've got a pretty clean lifestyle and, you know, you could probably get away with taking it once or twice a week.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you for sharing that, because I think for a lot of people, that's one of our biggest issues we have is, you know, oh God, how long do you have to take this for? You know, is this going to be a lifetime thing? And so
right.
Good to hear that you can cycle and just watch how you feel and kind of go from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to play around with it a little bit, you know, and that's one of the reasons why we sell it only through doctors and practitioners, because it requires a little assistance, you know, And it depends on what else is going on in that person's life, right? If that person, you know, has a really stressful work or home life, we know that stress really induces leaky gut. And so that person probably needs it every day because they're not getting away from the stress, absolutely. You know, and, but if they have a, you know, a really calm, you know, life that they've put together well but they have a few bad habits and maybe the spores will be there just to undo some of those bad habits a couple times a week, that could be enough, right? So it kind of depends on their lifestyle and the situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. It's not as I tell my patients, it's not a one size fits all situation. We definitely, you know, there's a lot of factors actually to treating the gut in particular.
Right. Exactly.
You have given us a bunch of material. I really appreciate it. I would love to know for our audience, I know on your website you have a lot of resources that I can access. Can anyone access the research in terms of just Joe Schmo off the street? And if they can, how could they find it and how do they go about it?
Yeah, I believe they should be able to. So I think if you go to our website, microbiomelabs.com, they should, there's a research and a blog tab, if I'm not mistaken. And just by clicking on there, I believe they can get on the blog, but let me just check, myself while we're on here. But there's a webinars tab, which actually contains several, topic specific webinars. Like there's an autism one, there's a mitochondria one, environmental triggers and autoimmune disease, mold, mycotoxins. So there's several very specific webinars. And then if you click on the blog contains a lot of write-ups and information on various conditions, on inflammatory bowel disease, allergies, autoimmune disease, and so on. So there's a lot there. And then they can also go on YouTube, and if they put in my name, Kiran Krishnan, in YouTube, you'll tons of recorded interviews will come up as well, where they can listen on very specific topics, anything that they're interested in.
Excellent. Yes, we have a culture here on my podcast of geeking out, and I definitely want my folks to be able to have access to any route that they possibly can to be able to dig deeper into all of your products and, you know, give me a shout and figure out how we can work together to get everything going for them. So, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. This kind of information to me is so important, because you got to empower people. People have to have this kind of understanding to you know, take control of their health and wellness and their outcomes to some degree. So thank you for having me, because it's always a pleasure to be able to talk about this stuff on in a medium that where people can access it. So I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. And I can't wait to get the new product for building up the lining. And I think I'll play with it with my folks for a little bit. And then I think I'd love to have you back on to kind of share some of our results and kind of troubleshoot and have some fun. If you're
absolutely up. That'll be fun. Let's do it.
Alrighty. Thanks so much, Karen. You have a good rest of your day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow, what a great podcast. My mind is blown. I hope that you have learned a bunch of information. If you're looking for more information from Megaspore and wanting to learn more about the Microbiome Labs company, head on over to their website at microbiomelabs.com. They've got videos, they've got all kinds of stuff that you can peruse for more information on all of their products. And if you're looking for my highlights of this podcast, head on over to my website at drjkrausnd.com, and I will put up every single thing that I found absolutely amazing about this podcast. Let me know if you have questions. Make some comments. You want to hear more podcasts like this one? Let me know. I'm here to serve you, here to help. And so let me know what you're interested in. Once again, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Thanks for listening. Hey everybody, Dr. Jeanine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.